Don't be discouraged. The man, he ain't so hard to understand. You know, he's not trying to make trouble. He's just stressing out like every other fan. Well, there's good in every team. Things aren't always what they seem. You can always find a winner if you try. Hey, things will be better. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, they will for Parker and the man. Oh, yes, they will for Parker and the man. Even though Mark Wilson, he can't understand.
Here we go. Are you ready for podcast number two? Here we go.
Dos. You didn't know I spoke Spanish, did you?
No turning back now. Podcast number two. We record live to tape. What do you think about that, fella?
Very nice. We're in the 2000s, or right? Are we in the 2000s?
I don't think you know what the 21st century even is.
There you go.
We're coming to you today from Rob's Pule. We're at the Pule. We're sitting by the twisting by the pool. Twisting by the pool.
A nice pool, I might say, too, right?
Well, you're a little egotistical, but yes, it is a very...
It's a nice pool, Mark.
First thing Rob says, look at this backyard.
It's pretty nice. I don't care what you say.
It's a good lounging
backyard. Absolutely.
It's a good swimming poolage.
Even my shed matches my house. Look, come on.
I know. Well, you're always color-coordinated.
Very nice.
In fact, I'm surprised you're not wearing your... Don't you have, like, orange shoes?
Yeah, I do.
Your little all-star game, New York Mets,
it's
2013.
It's not a New York Mets jacket.
Field.
It's an all-star jacket in Met Royal blue color, I'll give you that.
You were at City Field for the all-star game.
I was. I went there for the shadowleague.com. I wrote every night. It was a lot of fun, so a lot of people. I enjoyed every minute of it.
All right, here's what's coming up on the podcast today. Hold on, I'll tell you what's coming up. We actually have notes. We can do this like a real show thing. How do you think about that, man? We're part of Media Riffraff.
That's right.
We're going to have Media Riffraff.
Media Riffraff. You love that one. You know what? You were trying to figure out what was the other one that I used.
You had a thing. Because, you know, Rob, with this CWPF thing, close, warm, personal friend, blah, blah, the moles, the
peeps. The spies.
Okay.
I have a few of them.
And Media Riffraff. You had one for, like, a police blotter. Do you remember it now?
But I have to look. I have a piece of paper, actually, with all those things down on it. And
you
I'm going to
find out.
You
said that a while ago.
I looked at it, but I didn't see anything that really jumped out. I was like, well, which one is it that Mark is so crazy about?
It was like the Huskow Heathens or something.
Something like that? Yes. Oh, that would have been pretty good.
My Huskow Heathens tell me that blah, blah is in jail or isn't arrested. But you had it, and it wasn't Huskow Heathens.
Well, I know what you mean, but something like that, and you really liked it. I remember that. You went crazy over it.
Gray Bar Goblins or...
Yes.
The Gray Bar Hooligans, or maybe it was the Huskow Hooligans. No, it wasn't Huskow.
But it might have been Hooligans or something. I don't remember.
Something.
I'll check it out.
All right. So we got, look, we'll do a little Lions business today after the Arizona loss. No shocker to anybody. It was on my list. I had win Minnesota, loss Arizona. We'll do a little college with MSU. Just a little wrap-up of MSU's stupid blowout over the Penguins.
Wake me when it's over, please, Mark, with that one.
Speaking of the Penguins and Michigan and Akron, which was a great game, and who knew? And
yeah, but Akron choked at the end. I mean, they should have won that game. They allowed Michigan off the hook, Mark, in that game.
Could have been one of the greatest upsets ever. You had it right there. You were there a couple of times in distance, a couple of yards away, and you couldn't get it done.
Who was it? Terry Bowden is their coach, right?
Terry Bowden. And Chuck Amato is their defensive coordinator. I mean, these are legitimate guys. Bowden had a perfect season at Auburn. And Chuck Amato spent 19 years coaching with his dad at Florida State and was a head coach at North Carolina. This is not at North Carolina State. These are not bums. These are guys who know how to get it done.
No, and that's why I was so surprised that they couldn't close the deal. They let Michigan off the hook on that one. Michigan should have lost. And I'll tell you, you just saw way too many mistakes, but we'll get into that.
All right, Tigers weekend with Kansas City. And they start another series tonight. Who's in? Seattle? What's tonight?
Seattle for four.
First time we've seen the Mariners since April. I want to talk about Charlie getting fired, the hot dog man, because you're a hot dog man. And I want your opinion of the hot dog man. Don't give it to me yet. But, you know, people forget, you know, maybe not even saw the story, that Charlie, the singing hot dog guy, the opera guy, got canned at Comerica. And you being a hot dog man, maybe have some hot dog opinion.
Actually, Mark, I have some CWPF information about this.
About Charlie?
Yes, I do. Oh. And you know what's funny is I did not use it last night on Clubhouse Confidential on Sports Final Edition on Channel 4 only because I forgot. I jotted it down And I had some information. Someone, a little mole, kind of whispered in my ear, and I forgot. But when we get to that, I'll break that out. So you want to stick and stay for that.
We already had a request from one of our guys who heard the first podcast. Thank you for listening. We appreciate that. To the elevator story about Sarah. So I thought, you know what we do in every podcast? Bring out one of our stories that we used to do previously on Parker and the Man Show on our various locations. Like for example, next week I've already written down, I want to do the Doug Brocale story next week. Because things that I want people to remember...
Was that when we interviewed him on opening day?
And then we got the riot act by Greg Jeffries.
And we got some dirty stares when we went showed up in the clubhouse.
But tell some of those stories and some of the inside parts. So we'll do that. That'll be like next week's thing. That's promo for next week.
But that was my interviewing tactic. You remember that? When I should do my yes or no questions. Mark, there's no wiggle room, right?
No wiggle.
There was no wiggle room.
Hold on, I'm just checking my thing here.
You're good, come on.
I want to make sure. Yes, we're good. Okay. Wings open the preseason.
I can't even believe that. To be
we're
honest.
Already in hockey season. I want to talk a little bit about the fight. Mayweather's fight. Too big a deal not to talk about.
I watched the whole thing. As a matter of fact, you know what was cool was we watched it at the barbershop.
You paid for it at the barbershop.
We had at the barbershop, and we had about 20, 25 people coming.
You helped Floyd make his $100 million? It's going to be close to $100 million total.
After when
it's
seeing all, that. How many people subscribe at $64.95?
I don't know the total number, but he was already guaranteed the $40 million, and it looks like the push on the PPV will probably get to about $92 or $93 million for him. That's for Floyd. That's for Grand Rapids' very own Floyd Mayweather. All right, Lions, Arizona yesterday. Let me make a comment. You do your thing. I don't know why people, and I know it's, look, fans are fans. They want to be fans. You want to think your team can always win, even if it's this crappy team. This team with their, and by the way, when I say this, you have to remember, not everybody realizes this, and we bring this up. Every year that goes by, whether it's been just the one playoff win since 1957, here's shameless promotion. So I'm on McNabb and Malone on NBC Sports Radio. Donovan and Mark were nice enough to have me on. And when I bring up the idea to people that don't think about it all the time, that this franchise has won but one playoff game since 57, I heard the shrieks, like the gasp. Even Donovan McNabb wasn't quite sure that it had been that kind of futility. You know what I mean? So whenever you talk about whether the Lions are in kind of not so much panic mode, because they're always in panic mode, but if they have there's some urgency in what they do because it has been so long, they don't get it that it's been this long and this bad for over a half century.
Do you know why? Because, Mark, we're living it. They're on the outside. And they say, they have Barry Sanders. I remember they had those good teams and Herman
Six
Moore.
Six playoffs in the 90s.
And Johnny Morton and Lomas Brown. And you know what I mean? And they start thinking about, oh, no, they had to win more than that. I mean, that doesn't even make sense to me. You know what I mean? It doesn't. So when you tell people that, they go, what do you think? What? One since 1957? It sounds impossible. And that was back in 1991, right, when they beat Dallas?
January of 92 from the 91 season, yes. So you're talking 20 years have gone by since the playoff win. And, yes, say what you want about Fonz and Bobby Ross, what guys that took you to six playoffs in the 90s are you laughing at today, as we like to say. But then it goes right back to that game at Arizona on Sunday. Here you go again. You haven't won in Arizona in 20 years. You have gone now seven straight, and the Cardinals have been mostly bad. Sometimes even worse than them.
Can I give you my sad NFL stat of the day? You ready? In the last 14 regular season games for the Cardinals, Mark, they have won exactly two games, and they beat the Lions both times.
Say that one again?
In their last 14 regular season games,
yes,
they've won only two games, and both times they beat the Lions. Those are only two games that they've won in the last 14.
You know, I guess I hadn't really looked at they had been through that kind of recent futility.
That's when they have a new coach. It was bad.
You know, we still think of them as going to the Super Bowl with Kurt Warner. And I can't get past the Warner Super Bowl. But now it's been a bit of time. So I guess
they were 2 minutes away from winning the Super Bowl. Remember, Fitzgerald touchdown, and they had 2 minutes to go to just make a stop, and they couldn't make a stop. Santonio Holmes.
All right, so 25-21 the final.
Wait a minute. You didn't react to the stat. Is that, like, ridiculous or no? How could you? They're that bad, Mark, and they've beaten you twice.
Not just beat. Well, the first one was a blowout.
Right. What was it 38-10?
38-10, and that was when that literally the Lions had like no highlights that day. There was like no highlights to show. It seemed because they did nothing. And remember the faces after the game? They couldn't believe even that.
Well, because when they got there, if I remember correctly, I want to say that Arizona had lost 6 or 8 in a row. You know, they were going through a bad patch.
Yeah, I kind of remember that now, yeah.
Yeah, it was bad.
All right, so that is telling. But then, dude, come on, what are you doing to me, man? All Lions stats are telling. They're just awful. And 8 penalties, 101 yards. We're supposed to be knocking that down. No running game. And Arizona was 1 of 11 on third down, and that one was off of the penalty thing. So it wasn't even like a legitimate third down play.
Well, but that was a bad play by Bentley. You got to admit that, Mark. When you're a
he's
DB,
not a good player.
But when you're a DB and you never look back for the ball, and you just basically run into a receiver, I'm not an official. I'm not trained. I know that's a pass interference. I mean, that's the easiest call in the world to make as an official.
Well, when I see 1 of 11 on third down, usually that team's the loser, not the winner. And again, they take a stat that normally is a big stat to look at, because obviously if you're not successful on third down, you're not extending series and drives. So I look at that and go, okay, how do you lose a game like that again? What do you got to do? And Reggie Bush, he's going to make you very nervous. This is why teams beg off of him, because he's wound so tight physically that he is apt to get injuries, hamstrings, leg injuries, hip injuries. He's had them in the past.
And for all the Lions fans who are bellyaching, Mark, I don't want to hear it. First of all, ask the people in New Orleans and ask the people in Miami about Reggie Bush and injuries, okay? It's a part of him. Like you say, he's almost in too good of a shape, right?
Some people have claimed that he's so tight, he's so little body fat, that he's not able to protect himself from injuries that other NFL guys protect themselves.
Number two, if you're complaining, saying, oh, when Reggie Bush went out the offense or whatever, what about Arizona? Had I said to you, Larry Fitzgerald, Mark, would have 2 catches and 33 yards. Again, you talk about stats. As a Lions fan, wouldn't you say, oh, no, I'll take that day. That's a win in Arizona.
Especially since he had a catch on the first play.
Yeah, so there you go. That's what I'm trying to tell you, is that he was a non-factor. He didn't play. He was injured. He had a bad thigh or something. So when you start looking at those things, you can't complain.
You know, I have to go back, though, to the idea that it should not be a surprise you lost on the road in Glendale. It shouldn't be. To me, that's just, you know, when someone says, can you believe? Of course I can believe it. I don't know what you're looking for here. That's now 9 losses in your last 10 regular season games, speaking of streaks. Because remember, they came in with the 8-game losing streak to start the year. And then they got the win over Minnesota. And you see Minnesota failing at the end again against the Bears. So they're 0-2. And what last
year? Bears are 2-0.
And no team that went 0-2 last year made the postseason. Now, the Lions got their win, so they're 1-1 and all that, and you can say what you want. But I'm not even looking at this as, what do you have to do to be a playoff team? This team has to learn how to win a game and then win the next week, too. Now, you've got the Redskins coming. I could go on and on about how bad that thing was, but Calvin had a day yesterday. He had over 100 yards receiving. He had 2 touchdowns. That's what you want. You don't expect more from him. Matt wasn't bad. Right? He didn't get picked.
He was okay, but the second half was horrible.
So it was just one turnover in the whole game.
Yeah, but so many 3 and outs, Mark. They only had 90 yards in the second half, 3 first downs, or 3 or 4 first downs. I might be wrong. I might be 4. But bad. That's bad. And I'm sorry. Calvin was still out there. You had other people. Nate Burleson, the play to end the game, 4th and 4, and you throw for 2 yards. You can't, Mark. I'm sorry.
Well, Rob, dude.
You can't do that.
The Lions landscape is littered with guys who failed on those plays, from Greg Landry to Gary Danielson to Eric Hipple to Chuck Long, who, by the way, was on doing somebody's commentary.
No, I watched the game on the Big Ten Network. Yeah, he actually did the Michigan game.
Yeah, he was doing the Michigan game. Chuck was. He sounded like, I was going to mention it, now I forgot who it was. He sounded like Peyton Manning.
Did he?
His voice was weird, because I don't remember Chuck talking like Peyton Manning.
I was actually at a sports bar eating and drinking, so I didn't get to hear him, but I saw him on the screen at halftime.
Yeah, Chuck Long's first pass as a Detroit Lion was a touchdown to Leonard Thompson. Remember that, to LT?
So was Matt Ryan. I was in Atlanta for his first game against the Lions. His first pass was a touchdown.
Remember that. First one was a touchdown. There you go. Chuck Long and Matt Ryan have something in common, because it wasn't winning, Chuck. Look at me ripping on Chuck. Good guy, Chuck Long. So why was I bringing that up? Oh, because the landscape is littered with quarterbacks who had the same fail that we've seen Matt Stafford have in the past, and that's why Jim Schwartz is 23 and now 44 as the head coach of the Lions. He's now 21 games under. And by the way, we saw the future. Patrick Peterson not only caught a pass yesterday, he's a DB, caught a pass, threw a pass, and completed a pass yesterday. That hasn't happened a lot in the history of the league, or at least since the end of the two-way player.
Right, right. But he's a player, Mark. You already know that. Look how athletic and talented he is. That guy could
probably... He got burned by Calvin.
Right. He probably could do a lot of things. He did. But you know, if you're in that situation, somebody's going to burn you at some point. Nobody's that good.
Look, this is the Jim Schwartz I'm trying to save my job tour. That's what this is, because you said it best. If he doesn't win a playoff game, he gone.
But that's what
I heard. Hawk Harrelson would say, he gone.
But do you disagree if the Lions make that? I think if the Lions are serious about it and they make that stand, I agree with it at some point. You know what I always say? Look at your opponents. Lovie Smith won 10 games last year, Mark. Out the door.
Out the door.
Why? Why was he out the door? Because they started great, faded in the second half, and they didn't what? Make the playoffs.
Right. No, then there's something to be said for the Bears saying it's not good enough.
Not good enough.
And Mark, here's a Mark Trestman, guy who's never coached in the NFL as a head coach. He's been around a long time.
And
I remember him down in Miami with me.
He was in Canada, right?
Yeah. Head coach, Montreal Alouettes. I remember him as an assistant with Howard Schnellenberger. He was on the Hurricanes team back in the early 80s. So I remember Mark when he was there, and Mark was here. Mark was with the Lions under Ross.
How old are you?
I'm over 30 now.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
Over 30. Just had my 30th, you know. But Mark Trestman has got that Bears team 2-0. Laugh, clown, laugh, right? Laugh, clown, laugh.
What team that's 2-0 heading to the playoffs are you laughing at?
Are the Lions going to the playoffs this year, Ron?
Not this year.
Okay, we got that one in.
We got that in, all right.
All right, so next week it's a team place you've never won.
What's the record? I keep getting, is it 0-24, 0-25?
I thought it was 0-22 regular season and 3 in the postseason.
Okay, so 0-25. And not only that, Mark, you saw Aaron Rodgers kick their butt, the Redskins up in Green Bay. Their season is on the line. They're 0-2 with a home game against the Lions. You don't think Washington's going to be ready for bear?
What I liked, loaded for bear?
Loaded for bear.
What I liked about your buddy, Robert Griffin, the Twa.
You saw what he wrote about. I mean, I don't want to get into a big thing. He already said that. He thought.
Robert Griffin III said Rob Parker should have kept his job at ESPN. Flat out, end of story.
End of story. That's
he said it himself. He actually brought you up. I don't even know how that came up. But he brought you up and said, you should not have lost anything from that.
Hey,
he probably knows you're right.
Like you say, if you go to NFL.com,
he knows you're right.
It's all over there. Stop it.
You know what? The more I think about it, that guy was right. But he said it himself yesterday. He said, put it on me. Put the blame for losing this game on me. Now, I don't know if that matters. I think it matters to guys in that room.
Yeah,
but he took the blame for it.
Mark, have you seen him?
There's a call to have Kirk Cousins playing right now.
Mark, whenever I don't care what you did last year, rookie quarterback. And remember, he's coming off a major injury. So people look at him and say, he hasn't looked the same, right? Has he? He doesn't look like the same quarterback. And I think people look at him and say, I don't know. Maybe he needs to be off a little bit more to get himself together. And this game against the Lions is going to be, if he plays poorly and the Lions win, there's a chance you might see Kirk Cousins after that.
You think, and they'll use the excuse of the injury. They'll
right,
say
they'll
he's
65%. Ready.
How can you expect the guy? We rushed him back too soon. Let Kirk... But the call is, Cousins might still run this offense better than he does.
Well, the thing is, if you put Kirk Cousins in and he has success, you don't have to answer to anybody. If Kirk Cousins struggles and you're still losing, you have to go back to RG3, right?
Does it all come down to Shanahan thinking, how do I take the second coming and say he's not good enough and his backup quarterback for Michigan State is better than he is at what I do? At what I'm trying to get accomplished here.
People were always amazed that they made, you know, because they were drafted back-to-back. Like, they're two picks. So they were like, why would they draft another quarterback? Do you remember? Everybody thought it was weird. But I don't know. At this point, when you're 0-2 and your quarterback hasn't looked good, Mark, all of RG3's numbers and stats, after they're down big, remember, they were big down 31-7 or something. He's got a couple of late touchdowns or whatever. Those are all garbage points and garbage yards, you know, no matter how you look at it. And even in week one against Philadelphia, they were down 33-7. They were down big in that game, and of course, he, you know, got a couple of touchdowns and points after that. But people look at that and say, it's not in the flow of when the game was a game. It's after the game is no longer a game that you got your number.
Speaking of that, Chip Kelly, got news for you. I got a little memo to you.
I like what Chip Kelly's doing.
I'm not ripping on him for that. But if you saw Philip Rivers at the end, Amazing that Philip Rivers is really still making it happen in San Diego. They're going through so much change, and Rivers is still their quarterback.
Well, but they didn't make it happen in week one when the Texans rolled on them late in the game.
But they do come back and beat them, and they've won at Philly, at Lincoln Financial. Here's the problem with his offense. It's great. It's a lot of fun to watch, and it's going to score a lot of points. He'll lose a lot of games doing it. This is the NFL. It's a whole different deal. Teams will adjust to that. They'll find a way, and they'll play at your level. You want to play at that speed? Are you kidding? Oh, we got a speed around this league.
That's what the NFL's all about. You know that.
No, you could go into the Pac-10. You won't find a team close to Oregon. Got news for you, Chip. Your little Oregon thing, until they stop recruiting good people, is going to keep winning. Whether you're there or not, and they're already winning like crazy over there in Oregon. Obviously, playing preseason games, pre-conference games. So I know his ego thinks that what he did in Eugene can work in the NFL, and it might. But until he gets much better defensive players that can match up to what he's doing offensively, he's going to lose games, dude, a lot of games.
Well, I say that it's a couple-year process till he gets all the players that he needs. So they're off to a decent start. You know, of course, they're hurt that they lost. It was overtime, wasn't it? Or no, wasn't it overtime?
Overtime at the end. It was right at the end.
Yeah, I thought it was overtime.
Overtime. It was overtime.
Right, it was overtime. But the whole idea is to lose at home hurts. After you have such an impressive road victory with one of your division rivals, you go to Washington where they won a division last year. You beat them, and then you come home. You're thinking, and then the Chargers gave it up at the end to the Texans. You know what I mean? So you start looking at it and say, we're going to start 2-0, and that kind of stuff. And then Philadelphia, of course, didn't start 2-0.
All right, college. All right, so anyhow.
Wait a minute. We got one more NFL game I want to talk about.
What do you want? Seattle, San Francisco?
Yeah, I just want to talk about that
a little bit.
Last night.
You do anything you want. You know why? It's a podcast.
No, I know.
It's a digital archive, fella.
Do we have to break or not?
No break.
No break. Just keep
we got nothing
going
to go to unless you just want to put the phone in the pool.
Well, let's put a break. This first portion of the Parker and the Man podcast, sponsored by All Star Dogs, Mark. If you're in Detroit and you want the best 100% beef hot dog with that special red onion sauce, only from New York, you should give us a call. I mean, you should stop by and try the All-Star Dog, 100% beef. Mark Wilson will give a testimonial about how good they are. Matter of fact, the first time Mark ever had them, he took a few home for him to cook himself because he liked them so much. And Mark, everybody who's come.
Throw it to me for the testimonial.
Okay, everybody who has come to All-Star Dogs, it's on 7 Mile Road between Southfield Freeway and Evergreen, right at the corner of Sunderland. Sunderland and 7 Mile. We're open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday, from 12 noon to 6 p.m. Everybody, Mark, who has tried it has loved the taste of the hot dog.
Now throw it to me for testimony.
Mark, you are a satisfied customer. Tell me about your how much you like All-Star Dogs.
Hi, my name is Mark Wilson. I went to All-Star Dogs thinking, what am I going to get? A hot dog? I can have a hot dog at home. I can go and buy them at the store. But I went to Rob's Hot Dogs, and he has these Sobrette hot dogs that are unbelievable. I'd never had them before. Man, oh, man. Wow. Mark Champion. Man, oh, man. Let me tell you, I wasn't trying to Frank speak. I even used Frank.
There you go.
I was trying to Frank Mark Champion. When I had my first Rob Parker All-Star Sporty Dog cut thing, it was outstanding, and I'm telling you this seriously. For what you charge is ridiculous. You must have just hand
them out.
Here you go. Here's your freebie today. And you have like a day where you do like a thing and a whatnot.
Well, Tuesday is two for Tuesday.
A twofer.
You buy one hot dog and get one of equal value.
So they are really good. I'm not just saying that because he's sitting right here, because I'm a hot dog freak. I was a Vienna Red Hot guy in Chicago at Wrigley in the old days.
But you got to admit this. When we were doing the show, remember I was going through all the trials and tribulations to get the place open. And Mark kept saying, what is this about these hot dogs? Okay with the hot
dogs. Okay with the hot dogs.
You just were like, am I right? And the first time you really sat down and had them, did you say, okay.
Now, we were blown away by them, actually.
You and Kate.
Yeah,
you
we were
both like,
yeah.
Okay, now I get why this guy.
Like you walked in, and I said, what do you really think about them? She goes, they're really freaking good.
Right.
They're really that good.
They were good. So there you go. All right, let's get back to the NFL.
Okay, we're back. We're back after that commercial pause interruption. Thank you so much for indulging. You want to do it San Francisco and Seattle from last night. It ended like at 4 in the morning.
What did you take away, right, because there was a weather delay for about an hour.
I took away I could get a good snooze in there. I took a snooze like it was nobody's business.
Yeah, but you know, everybody was giving San Francisco like it's a wrap. They're going to waltz their way to the Super Bowl, especially beating Green Bay in week one. Kaepernick, 14 yards and three touchdowns. So everybody was feeling like, oh, you won't be able to stop this kid. This guy is too good. And what did Seattle do with their defense, Mark? They shut him down big time. He had three picks, which equal a total of picks he threw all of last year in one game. Lost a fumble. He was harassed all night. And you know what they did? Unlike Green Bay, Green Bay tried to contain him and let him throw from the pocket. Said, we're going to make you a pocket passer. And he burned him for over 400 yards. But in this case, Seattle said, go ahead. You want to run? We'll let you run. And they kept him to 87 yards. And they did a great job. And they made him look ordinary, green, inexperienced. And I don't know if they laid out the blueprint. But if I'm a defensive coordinator and I watch, Seattle's done it twice now. In the two games, Mark, he's played Seattle. He has one touchdown and four interceptions. So you got to look at Seattle now and say, they got something.
Well, I'm a Russell Wilson guy. I'm a Russell Wilson fan. At Wisconsin, I thought he comes into 1 year. What pressure on him? He leaves North Carolina State, comes in for the 1 year and does what he does, takes the team to the Big Ten Championship and then the Rose Bowl. I mean, didn't that already show you that this guy's got something? It sure showed Seattle.
A little moxie.
He's got something going, and they had to have him. Pete Carroll had to have him to run that offense. And I do acknowledge that Seattle's defense from head to toe, from top to bottom, is probably the best in the league. Russell Wilson is the difference maker on that team. If you're looking for a Super Bowl pick that you don't think is, I don't think that's even a hidden one. I think there are people who think that the Seabags can get back to the Super Bowl like they did in 06 when they were here.
When they got jobbed in Detroit with the officials making those bad calls, the Steelers stole that Super Bowl. It was aided by the officials. But anyway, I'm just saying, if you look around, you got Seattle, you got San Francisco, you got Green Bay. The NFC's loaded, you know, with a lot of good teams. I don't know, the Giants are already 0-2. So this, you said nobody made the play. They're already 0-2.
Nobody made the play. There was 12 teams that went 0-2 last year. None of them made the postseason.
So that'll be interesting to see. But I was impressed by the defense. Russell Wilson plays
fine. Defense.
It's defense, I'm telling you. Thanks, Doug Collins. But I was impressed at what they were able to do to Kaepernick, especially, Mark, considering what Anquan Boldin, he had a field day. Anquan Boldin had 208 yards against the Packers, 13 receptions, and he was basically shut out yesterday.
All right, can we get to college?
All right.
All right, Michigan and Akron, you kind of said it earlier. That's an escape game. That's one that would have gone down with Toledo. Remember, don't forget, Appalachian State was Lloyd Carr's lament. It was not Rich Rodriguez. Someone said, you know, when Rich Rodriguez lost to App State, I said he didn't lose to App State. That was Carr in his final year. Rodriguez lost to Toledo at Michigan Stadium, at the home, at El Casa Grande. So now you have Akron on the doorstep, and I'm thinking, there's two ways. No, look, I'm going to think of my Spartan hat on. I'm going, come on, dude. You will. I'll have to have a tissue and a cigarette afterwards. Seriously, this will be the most, even better, because this is a team that had won one game each of the last 3 years. They have a 27-game road losing streak. They haven't won on road since 08. And here they are at Michigan. This isn't a game at Eastern. It's not a game at Western. It's not a game at Miami, Ohio. It's a game at Michigan. And Terry Bowden's thinking, this puts me back on the map. Remember when he left Auburn and his situation? He went to coach at North Alabama. Took him four, you know, because he was gone from the game for, 8 years on TV?
Not a pretty picture, right.
So all of a sudden, he's thinking, this is my career. It's my career. I was off the field for 8 years doing television for ABC. Then I come back to North Alabama, whatever that might be, and then I'm coaching at Akron in the MAC. Not bad, right? For a little progression. I beat Michigan today. I might be able to name my job next year. How many years am I going to stay at Akron? Couple, one, two. I mean, he's already been there a couple. So, you know, no one would have begrudged him if he was to get, help. If Saban's gone, he might have been a candidate for the Alabama job.
Especially if you would have beat Michigan in the situation that was there, coming off their big win, you know, against Notre Dame and everybody feeling good and beating their chest and all that kind of stuff. And I know people say, well, you know, after that game it was a letdown because you were playing Akron. Mark, I'm not buying that. Put your foot on their neck and snap it. That's what you do when you play teams like Akron. They had no business being in that situation. Even at the half, I looked at it and said, they're letting Akron be in this game. They have a chance to lose this game. I thought it was going to be tight, and they should have lost the game.
Should have lost the game. That's one time you can say you should have lost the football game.
Should have lost. Even though I don't remember who the player was interviewed, who said, we stand up here thoroughly embarrassed. This is after a win. We stand up here thoroughly embarrassed.
Lawan said that, too. I know he was one of them that said that. I'm assuming Devin Gardner thinks that way. And I'm assuming everybody should feel that
way. Devin Gardner had a bad, all of, what do you have, three interceptions? He was bad. Was it three or four? He was bad.
It was three and a fumble.
Three and a fumble.
He had that fumble, too. And I was stunned, to be honest with you. Because that's a team that just has... Now, they have a win this year. They have their... But everybody thought their one win. This is their one win. That's all they've won in 3 years is one game. I mean, their record is ridiculous. One of the worst in college football at any division, any level.
They're building a picket fence, one at a time.
Other than Grambling, who already fired Doug Williams after a couple of games, told Doug Williams, their all-time hero, he came back to coach him a second time and said, bye-bye. Thanks, Doug. And who's the quarterback of that team? His son, Doug Williams Jr., is the quarterback at Grambling, and they still fired Doug Williams.
That is amazing, isn't it?
You're not going to get Doug Williams money anymore, I'll tell you that right now, in terms of, you know, the way he brings in money. You know, the Eddie Robinson days are long gone, baby. And Doug,
that's pretty amazing. There must be some backstory to it.
Something else must have.
There's got to be more than that. Just through two games, and your son's the starting quarterback.
Next is UConn at Connecticut. I don't know what to make of UConn. Michigan playing a game at UConn. This is almost unprecedented. They go and play at places like that.
You would think it would be at Michigan, right? That's kind of weird that they would be a road team for such a school like that.
Could that be, I'll use that stupid phrase, which I hate, trap game in a way? Or is it just a bust out and it won't be a big deal? It's similar to what MSU had with Youngstown, which everybody was nervous. Youngstown had scored 95 points in their two games, albeit against Dayton and Moorhead. And then all of a sudden, State doesn't have a quarterback, doesn't know what he's going to do.
Well, they have one now, don't you think?
Well, again, Connor Cook had four touchdown passes in the first half against Youngstown State. The only reason you're playing Youngstown is because Mark D'Antonio coached there with Jim Tressel. That's one of his places. So he gave him here's a payday.
When they were willing to deal back then?
Well, yeah, right. Yeah, and they were willing to deal him for sure. But here's a payday for you, Youngstown. Come on into East Lansing. You're a D2. Come on in. We'll give you, $900,000. And you
get mauled and you get beat mauled. Up. Right. That's what you do. You're getting paid.
I heard more people than not, Rob, think that Youngstown could beat them.
I didn't buy that. I don't know. I thought, okay, Michigan State will have enough to beat them, but how impressive would the offense be, and could they finally put some numbers up? That's what I was looking for. And you know what? Cook delivered that, Mark.
Four in the first half, which doesn't happen at that school much. I don't know if Kirk Cousins ever threw four in the first half. Smoker, I don't recall that. Tony Banks. I go back to some quarterbacks, Leister, Yarema. Earl Morrill, I don't know if they threw four in a first half, but even if they had, I don't know that they've still found their quarterback. Any more than when Maxwell fails in a game, but he had a full season to be judged. Connor Cook didn't get that luxury. So I don't want to judge Connor Cook as saying you've got the future at Connor Cook by one game any more than I want to say he's no good because of a failure in one game. So I'm careful about that. What I don't want them to do is I don't want them to play Damian Terry. They need to redshirt that kid because he is the future of that franchise.
But they might do that now, don't you think? Now that they got to feel better about Cook, so why would you do that?
I would say to I'm D'Antonio, I say Connor Cook's going to go.
Because if Connor Cook played poorly or they were upset or they didn't score enough points, then you would have to look at the other kid that you just mentioned, right?
Yeah.
So
Damian Terry.
Terry, but I think...
You still got Tyler O'Connor.
But I just think because that didn't happen, you now can do what you need to do, which is redshirt him and leave him for the future.
You know, I heard people bitching a little bit about the Spartans, and I said, you know, three games before the Notre Dame game, say what you want, the aggregate score of the three games, 102-36.
No competition, though. They haven't played anybody.
Well, Western Michigan, Florida.
They haven't played anybody. I'm not... That sounds nice. Now, if you told me you had a Big Ten school in the mix, then I'd be impressed by that.
You think they lose at South Bend?
Yes,
I even have to ask you.
You already know that, yes. I think they
do. I do, too. I think they lose at South Bend. Tommy Reese will have his way with them, I think. You know, you got to prove it to me that you can win on the road. You can win at South Bend, and it's an afternoon game. It's not a night game. In fact, we're carrying on the 1090 thing at 2:30 kick. 2:30 start, 3:30 kick, I believe, is the game with Notre Dame, which will be on NBC. All right, so that's Spartans and Akron. I want to mention one thing about Nick Saban. I want to see if Rob can guess why this happened. The big game, the game of the century that, you know, Saban rolled his eyes at with that moniker. At the end of the game when Alabama had beaten Texas A&M, which I thought they would do on the road, they'd get back at Johnny Manziel, Johnny Heisman man, the little Heisman dude. Saban was on with Chris Fowler, just a two-man set, right on the field at Kyle Field in College Station, okay? You have to tell me, how did this come up? How did Chris Fowler get Nick Saban to mention the words Michigan State? Because I don't think he's ever said it since he left for LSU 13 years ago. Why did Nick Saban yesterday mention the words Michigan State with his little Alabama shirt on?
Because Chris Fowler said, Coach, the last time you gave up that many points, you were coaching at
No, it wasn't that. Well, it was it's something close to that. Nick Saban said the words Michigan State people on ESPN yesterday or Saturday after a win for Alabama.
All right, spill the beans then.
Okay, so Fowler says, I'm going to ask you a trivia question, Nick. You know Nick. He goes, whatever. He's going, okay. I guess I can't rip you.
Okay, if I'm here, and I guess I have to do it.
I listen to it. He says, if Johnny Manziel had beaten you, he'd be the first quarterback to beat you back-to-back games since who? It's only happened one other time for Saban. And Nick thinks, you see his face going, I don't know. He just says, I don't know. And his father says, Drew Brees. And Nick said, oh, you know what? You're right. He was our nemesis when I was at Michigan State. But I'm going crazy. I said, Nick Saban just said the words, the greatest coach in college football said the words Michigan and acknowledged he coached there. Because he tends to let that go. You don't tend to hear him ever say that about his time in MSU in East Lansing.
You know what's funny is I once was doing a column for the Detroit News, and Nick Saban called me. I called down. I think he was at LSU at that point, right? And I called and to get an interview, and he called. I'm in the car. So I put on a speakerphone. I'm taking notes because, I have to get him there. I'm driving.
Yeah,
I'm
like, tell him, can I call you back?
No, no calling back. He calls me, and I just remember interviewing him. It was cool. It was all good. But I think he's the best college coach, obviously. I mean, and I think this is his last year in college. If Alabama's able to win again, Mark.
Well, here's some credence to what you said. Again, know the woman behind the man. How many times have I told you, and I've been spot on, that Terry Saban controls the locations in that family, she wears the pants in that family, she does what she wants to do, and Nick follows what she says. When he left MSU, part of the reason was she said, we're going to LSU. When they went to the NFL to Miami, part of the thing was, just signed off on it, she told Nick it was time to go to the Miami Dolphins and try your NFL chops. When it went south, she was the first one to jump back on the college bandwagon for him, and when Alabama approached, he said, take the damn job, he took the damn job. What you said last week, and you said it on Sports Final.
Right, Clubhouse Confidential.
Here's the situation. If he were to win a third, which is very possible now with that schedule, after beating Texas A&M, the way the schedule looks out, he could easily at least be in that championship game. And he wins another one? Was it four in college, three at Bama? He's going. He's not sticking in Tuscaloosa.
Three in a row, right? I mean, what else
nothing
is there to do? There's nothing
except
to do.
Except go down.
That. Right. You can only not win, and people say, oh, well, Nick Saban's not as good. You leave, Mark, in a hurry. You win three in a row. You are a god in Alabama.
And you know what? They're happy to see you go.
Exactly. Thank you
happy
so
for
much.
You.
Exactly.
Can't believe what you turned back in the old Bear Bryant. Better than
Alabama
Bear Bryant.
Had been bad for a long time.
Gene
right?
Stallings gave him that one flash, and then David Shula took him. I mean, Mike Shula, when he coached. That was what a terrible hire that was when Mike Shula was coach. Mike Shula was coaching Alabama. What is that about? Anyhow, if the Lions don't win their little playoff game, as you say, and they're looking for a head coach, you know Terry loves this area. She loves it. To come back Michigan State twice, he went to Kent State. She loves the Midwest. She has great roots here. Are you kidding me? She'll say, run, don't walk, and take that Lions job.
And if I'm the Lions and things don't work out and Jim Schwartz doesn't win that playoff game and you're ready to really change the culture and get fans to want to believe in what you're doing, Mark, as a franchise and organization, you hire Nick Saban. First of all, what does he bring
to the
table?
You're cool with his second chance in the NFL. Everybody should get a second chance.
You get another chance because, you know what? Pete Carroll got a second chance. A third chance, right? Jets, Patriots, didn't work. This time now in Seattle, what's happened? It's working, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's working. So it can happen. This whole notion that, well, most college coaches don't make it. No, it can happen. And if you saw what Pete Carroll's team did to San Francisco last night, you wouldn't be talking about him being a college coach and that it doesn't work out. So I'm with you on that. I got another Lions topic we need to talk about before we move forward. The report by Jay Glazer on Fox, did you see it?
He's lost some weight.
A little bit. Well, he's eating
good.
The Subways, I think.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know, I've known. You know, can I tell you this story?
I know. We had Jay back on in the 90s.
But do you know
I'm on the show.
How long I've known him? Since he was an agate clerk at the New York Post. I'm like, Mark, you know what an agate clerk is? The guy who puts in the box scores and the racing. An agate clerk at the New York Post.
Don't yell at me.
I'm sorry. I just think when I see this guy and how successful.
Oh, you're wearing your Columbia shirt today. You ever notice that until just now?
Yeah.
A little Columbia shirt. Shout out Columbia.
Columbia.
Hashtag Columbia.
Columbia, the real one. You know, President Obama went there?
Yes, okay. The Columbia University and the Ivy League.
Okay, but what he reported was that Ndamukong Suh does some of that reckless, crazy stuff, Mark, that he's done in games in practice. banging guys' heads on the field and doing all kinds of, you know, dirty stuff to even his teammates. That was a report. So, of course, Jim Schwartz comes out today in his press conference and says, you're the media. You've been to our practice. You've never seen that stuff. You guys would have reported on it if it really went on. Now, Jim, first of all, they close practice right after 30 minutes or whatever, so you don't watch the whole practice.
When you get to the nitty-gritty stuff,
right,
you don't see
you don't
the good
see
stuff.
That. Yeah. So first of all,
we all know that.
People aren't watching the entire practice. Number two, sometimes national guys get guys to talk when local guys can't because they see Jay or they know him or whatever, and you know what I mean? So you actually sometimes get stuff.
It's always a tiered level on what you're going to get from guys based on who you are.
On who you are.
It just, it's life, man.
It just,
how life works.
It just is, right? You know
it's
that.
How life works.
Absolutely. So my moles, who I checked in with today, because since Jim is like denying this story or whatever, and my moles, who I talked to, Mark, said this is absolutely true. So much so that the nickname that the players have for Ndamukong Suh is coach, because he gets to do whatever he wants in practice. He gets to talk down to the coach and stuff. They call him coach because he can do whatever he wants.
Which makes sense.
Yep. And that's
doesn't surprise me.
That's the nickname. And so Jay Glazer, dude, guys at Fox, you're in a big spot. That's something you can't make up, Mark, saying that this guy is banging teammates' heads, that's not something you can make up. You got to have some good sources, and I got to believe the story.
Good. I hope he's doing it. Too bad it's not resulting in better finals, better final
how
results.
How do you think that, C, how did they vote him captain?
The captain C? Dude, it's obvious guys again, like Ndamukong Suh. I said it even to McNabb and Malone. He's got a little carte blanche here. He gets a pass here. Everyone rips him. They don't like the Portland stuff, banging up cars and stuff, and, you know, they can stop, I guess, with the always, you know, the blatant stepping on a guy's arm or the leg whip in the Texans game.
And can I give you one more clubhouse? I'm giving you stuff that should be on Sports Final Edition. I'm going to give you one other thing.
You're not giving it to me. You're giving it to the peeps.
That's what I mean.
Hashtag peeps.
My CWPFs, you know, Mark.
Close, warm, personal friends.
There you go. Close, warm, personal friends.
I feel like Jamie Edmonds.
There you go. They also
Katrina Hancock.
Just not as pretty. They also
I don't
told
know about
me,
that.
They also told me that.
I'm kidding you, Jamie, a kid. Yes?
When his contract's up, that he wants out of Detroit. Don't expect him to be back here. Yep. That this.
Like this is one. You're here from the rookie season to when you're and you're out.
Yep.
No
so just remember, that's what I hear. That when this deal's done here, he's out.
Is there no way to convince him? What if the team's better? What if they do something crazy like? I can't even mention.
No, I don't know, but
can't even mention it.
I think he just feels like he's like always a scapegoat. Always the you know what I mean? Like
but bad news. No. That's going to happen everywhere.
When you're that guy, right? When you're that guy, it's about either...
It's going to get worse.
When you win, you get all the accolades, and when you lose...
He thinks it'll be better somewhere else?
I'm just saying...
Atlanta?
That,
New York? Where is he going to go?
That's what I hear. I'm putting it out there because that's what I heard from reliable CWP.
See, the only thing I always say about Sue is he grew up, you know, he's a Portland, Oregon guy, never made a big stink that he was a big Seahawks guy. There's no team in Portland. He went to Nebraska, no team there. I don't know who he would grow up as a... And he always acclaimed he wasn't a huge NFL fan person. Remember, he does. I always say he's the reluctant football player because it seems like he wants to do about 10 other things.
There's a lot of guys. You know that, Mark. You talk to football players. I tell people this all the time.
Brad Hill was a reluctant basketball player. He would rather play the piano.
Some guys play in the NFL because they can make money at it, and you know what I mean? But if you ask them, do they really like doing what they have to go through to play football? No. I've heard plenty of guys tell me that. I don't want to do that.
I think Sue would tell you that.
Right.
If he had something else he could do, he'd rather do it, but he knows this is where
I can make money at my size, as my size and what I can do. So
it's part of being smart, too, right. You know. Doing things you don't want to do because it benefits you, that's life, too, right?
It is.
You don't do everything you want to do all the time.
So that's my other little football thing I want to throw out there.
All right, well, you had the other podcast confidential thing about Charlie getting canned at Comerica. Before we get to the Tigers, I'm curious about that. What is it you know about the singing opera man who's been at Tiger Stadium? Been there a good, 17, 18 years, Charlie was. And let me just tell you how we got to know Charlie well. You know, I had those season tickets for years. Section 131, row 19 at Comerica. Beautiful seats. You know the seats there.
Yeah, well,
and so
I
we
sat
got,
there a couple times.
Right. So we got to know Charlie really well. Catherine got to know Charlie. Everybody got to know Charlie really well. We were the first ones, I think, to buy a bottle of his mustard. We went to Hiller's and told him we'd buy a bottle.
When we came on the show and brought it in. He had his picture
on
it.
He signed it even just for fun. I think I want the hot dog guy with it, but it was cool. All right, so we went and we spent the $3.98 to go. A little high price for mustard, but that's fine. Went to Hiller's and got the mustard. So I thought Charlie would be able to, you know, I thought he was a thing. I thought he was an attraction there. I thought that was a deal. You could hear him in the background from games for the last nearly 20 years. So what was it that, because don't try to tell me that that started to bother them. That's been happening for 20 years. And the ketchup thing, I know he gets a little crazy about not putting ketchup on a hot dog. And that's supposedly the word is that he pissed off a kid or a family because the kid wanted the ketchup and he like schooled him on why you should only have mustard on a hot dog. Even a few complaints doesn't sound like to me you're going to get yourself thrown out as a vendor at Comerica. So what do you know?
My Comerica peeps, Mark, and I believe it, said they had the Tigers had nothing to do with it. That the Tigers did not.
Sports service?
It was sports service 100% from complaints that they got from. First of all, the Tigers knew they were going to get a meet. The sports service had come to them prior saying they want to get rid of them. And they said, no, don't do it because we're going to get bashed on. People are going to bash us.
They're going to think we did it.
We did it because, oh, we don't want to hear them say.
No, we know sports service.
Tigers have no problem with him. That's not the issue. Sports service said that they couldn't control a guy. He had gotten too big, you know what I mean, where he wouldn't take orders or laughed at them and, like, just wouldn't listen to what they wanted to say. And they got complaints, Mark, from ketchup lovers who wanted ketchup on their hot dog. I know it sounds silly.
Woo! The ketchup controversy.
Ketchup lovers. And this guy wouldn't carry ketchup with him and wouldn't give ketchup. I understand recommending mustard, but to deny a paying customer.
How many people come to your hot dog place and ask for a hot dog with ketchup?
Everybody.
Everybody.
They want
really?
And a lot
they won't
times,
get me doing that.
But a lot of times they want ketchup and mustard. A lot of people have ketchup, mustard, and relish. That's what they want on theirs. Both. So we.
It's a heinous crime to put ketchup on a hot dog. I'm just
telling
you
not
that.
Always, Mark. I like mustard, but I like also, when I have my red onions, I like a little ketchup sometimes.
Really?
Most of the time, spicy brown and onions. But once in a while, I like the ketchup as well.
I think you're anti-American.
So anyway, all I was going to say was, it was not the Tigers. It was, what is it, Sports Serve?
Sports Service.
Sports Service. They were the ones who wanted to get rid of them, and they came to the Tigers and said, can we do this? Even and the Tigers said, we'll take the hit. If this guy's really an issue, and you're
all these years,
after all these years, they finally said they just couldn't take it anymore. He had
la, 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 la. That's in honor of Charlie. You want to hear more?
And he didn't sing that often. It wasn't like every time he was there.
Well, right? They'd already curbed that. Remember that they had the big thing years
times,
ago,
right?
They said you can only sing now in like the third, the fourth, and then they knocked it down like two innings or something. So they already had taken his operatic chops away from him.
Well, because people are there watching the ball game too. I mean,
but I want to hear a little aria every now and then from Charlie.
So there you go. That's the information.
All right. Shout out to Charlie. Go buy his mustard at Hiller's. We'll retweet that. Real quick, before we get to the Tigers. You were in the elevator, we were talking just because someone has requested this, but we were recanting when Sarah used to be, the great Sarah Simpson, used to be the elevator operator.
Great Sarah Simpson.
She passed away a few years ago, and Rob was getting in the elevator and said, I don't know if I can hear you, I'm going to lose the call, and I said, God, you remember when Sarah, and don't you miss Sarah? And all I said was Sarah, and you were a big fan of her, but tell the story again about the fan, because people forget that she at Tiger Stadium had no air conditioning. These were horrible. This elevator was terrible.
I remember the stadium was built a long time ago, so it was real old and antiquated. And
how long was Sarah the elevator operator?
A long time. I don't remember.
Three decades, maybe? Maybe more?
Maybe more. And Juan Gonzalez got in. I don't know why he was on the elevator, where he was going. Maybe he was doing an interview or something for the local, you know.
Texas thing?
Texas.
Because he was with the Rangers. He wasn't a Tiger yet.
He wasn't with the Tigers. He gets in the elevator. It's a hot summer day. And as a matter of fact, Mark, you know what? I was on that elevator. I do remember that. I'm not even kidding you. I was on that elevator. And I remember him saying, boy, it's hot in here. You don't have air or a fan.
And Sarah sat in a little chair.
Right at the
She wasn't invalid or anything.
No,
she was just she was all getting older at the time.
Right. And he said, there's nothing. She goes, no, they don't give me anything. I have to just stay in the elevator and, you know. And
sweat it out.
Sweat it out. Do you know, I don't know who it was or whatever. He ripped off a couple of $100 and gave it to somebody and said, put a fan in the elevator for Sarah. And that's how
it was a nice fan. It was up in the upper right-hand corner for the rest of her time at Tiger Stadium.
And that's how it got in there. It was by Juan Gonzalez.
Couldn't believe you told me, because I said, who did that?
I'm telling you, I was on that elevator.
Might have been a packed elevator, too. It was always a packed elevator.
Right.
Getting up to the press box or getting down to where you had to be. That thing traveled slow, too, and she was there all day for hours. It wasn't just a few minutes. It was hours on end, day after day.
The games, the whole day, right.
So I just renewed my interest in Juan Gonzalez because, you know, after all these years of the 1 year here, when he was so terrible and wouldn't live here and then left,
apartment.
We all hated him.
Apartment.
So, Juan Gon, I'm actually back in your corner now because I forgot it was you that put the fan in Sarah's elevator. All right, Charlie, we're done with him. Tigers weekend with Kansas City. They take 2 out of 3 against the hottest team in baseball. That team had gone 18-5 in their previous 23 games. Here's what you want, a great stat? I'll give you a good Tiger stat. Entering the game tonight against the Mariners, in the last 21 innings of Tiger baseball, only Alex Avila has driven in a run. That's it. Because they had the last 3 innings from Friday's game, the shutout game on Saturday, and he drove in all 3 with the 2 homers against the Royals on Sunday. Only Alex Avila in the last 21 innings has driven in a run with all those big hitters for the Tigers.
If you're the Tigers, you should be worried about one thing and one thing only. And that's your big guy, Cabrera.
Yeah, the health of him. He can't run.
He can't run, and he's not the same hitter. People can say,
the other day
he hit a ball that looked like it was going to go out, and it died at the warning track. You know, when you talk about hips and all that with batting.
He doesn't have it right now.
He doesn't have it, and I don't know how many extra base hits he has. He was batting like 130 in his last 8 or 9 games before.
I heard Mario say that the double he got on Saturday, I think, was the first extra base hit he had in 2 weeks.
Right, 2 weeks. So if you're the Tigers, you got to be very, very frightened, you know, about what's going on. And, you know, I did talk to him, and I said, well, you know, they keep saying that you're not doing any further damage or hurting yourself anymore. Is that right? Is that what
did he put one of those things in the face like?
Is that right? You know, and I'm like, ah.
So big fella.
So he doesn't look the same. He's not swinging the same. If you're thinking about winning the World Series and you don't have him, I don't see how that gets done.
Well,
not if he's playing.
Magic number's 9. Is there even a question they win the division? I mean, we said this last week.
Indians are right. Are still what, 5.5? Is that what it is?
That's 5 games. I'd call it 5.
Yeah. Okay.
Magic number's 9.
Right. Right. So I mean, yeah. Yes, Mark. Could they lose 9 in a row and lose? Yes, they could. But the likelihood is not very likely. Even though the Mets lost the division, up 5 games with 7 to play, they lost. And don't forget the Tigers were up, had a 3-game lead with 4 to play. They lost the division because they lost the last 4 in 2006 against the Royals and wound up.
You mean the year when they had that game against the Royals in July that you said you by not playing Polanco and Maglio and Pudge that they're making
in July. Remind people of that column that I wrote.
He wrote a column. They were killing the Royals. I mean, they won every game.
Right, in the first 2 games they like pounded them.
But even for the season, their season record was like 9-0 or 9-1. I don't think they had lost. I don't think they had lost. And was Buddy the manager then?
Yep.
Of the Royals?
Of the Royals.
Buddy was the manager. Buddy Bell. And you wrote that day, because he didn't play, Leland didn't play Polanco, Mags, Pudge, and one other. So he took themselves out of the game.
It was a hot day.
It was
a Sunday game, right.
They had like 100 degrees.
Right.
And he wouldn't play them because there was already a scheduled, quote-unquote, day off. And they lost that game. Big. They weren't competitive because they didn't have their big guns. And sure enough, they lose the division by 1 game. Now they went as a wild card. But
that,
you could add the division.
That day I wrote that column, Mark, and people say, oh, you're overreacting, it's just 1 game. I said, when you're trying to win a pennant and trying to win a division,
you don't look at it that way.
Right. You can't rest that many good players. I'm not saying you couldn't rest 1 or 2 or whatever, but you step on the Royals' neck. You're killing them. They had just beat them the night before, like, I don't know, 15-2 or something. And then the next day you're resting all those guys who just all had 2 and 3 hits the night before? Doesn't make sense.
Well, I do want to give it up a little bit to Joaquin Benoit, because I don't think there's even been, I think people have been laying in the weeds a little bit while this, you know, he hasn't blown a save and he's had just a couple of hiccups. But for the most part, an ERA right around 2, a little less than 2, a little more than 2, it fluctuates a little bit. He's been kind of lights out. And let me tell you something. Here's the reason I'm doing this. He could have easily taken this thing when Papalardo went away, when Papalardo
never should have come back.
Should have come back in the first place. But they brought him back. They did his thing. He had a couple of saves in there. He had 8 or so, and then looked like, and then all of a sudden he tanked it again, lost the fastball again. And they just thrust Benoit into the situation. Here you go, Joaquin. We don't have what's his ass because he's on the disabled list. We don't have Octavio Dotel. So you do it. Now, he could have failed miserably. He could have fell on him, and you'd be sitting here today if you hadn't made a trade at the deadline for a Nathan or someone, and they weren't giving up Nathan anyhow. That was a joke. And Papelbon wasn't coming either.
Even though Texas might not make the playoffs. Have you seen this far?
Well, they didn't know that then.
No, but I'm just saying now.
Sorry, Oakland. They're kicking everybody's ass.
But isn't that amazing? Yeah. I mean, Mark, they're in jeopardy now of not making the playoffs.
It doesn't wouldn't surprise me, though. Not the way the West has become, too, with those two teams. Oakland is still surprising everybody, I think, and how Bartolo Colon doesn't fail at 40 years old. But Benoit could have easily tanked this thing, lost games, blown saves. You'd be running around with your like a chicken with your head cut off. You wouldn't know what the hell was going on, especially if you couldn't make a deal at the deadline. Now you're trying to make a waiver deal, throw another guy in, maybe he fails. Dude, this has been the forget Cabrera, forget Martinez, his resurgence to 300. Prince has come back amazingly in September and late August. This is the to me, he's the Tigers' MVP. It's not Scherzer. It's not Verlander. It's the way Benoit took that closer role, ran with it, and solidified it. If it hadn't, this would have been chaos. And I guarantee you this. If he hadn't done that, I don't think Tigers would be in first place right now.
Oh, it's funny you say that. I didn't pick the Tigers. When I made my World Series pick and I picked the Dodgers to beat the Tigers, the reason I didn't pick the Tigers was because of the closer situation. I thought that was too up in the air and nobody knew what they were going to get.
People still don't trust them.
No. They don't, Mark. And you know what's so weird is people are waiting, actually, for him to blow a game.
I think they are.
They are.
Waiting for him to fail.
Waiting for him to blow a game, and then there'll be all these cries about how come,
told you so.
How come you didn't go get a closer.
Yep.
And he's an eighth-inning guy. He's not really a closer. So I agree with that, and he has had an unbelievable impact.
To me, the bullpen is solid. Smiley's been nothing but good.
Well, Coke's no good. It's a couple.
But Smiley's been good. Varish has been pretty good since they got him from Houston. That's enough guys for me, though. I can go to war with that. I can go to the postseason feeling comfortable with Varus, Smiley, and Benoit. Even if I can't get much out of Putkonin or Coke or whatever, I'll take those guys and run to the bank with them. Because I know my starters, for the most part, are still going to go six or seven innings.
It's going to be interesting to see. You know, I mean, Max hasn't had any. He pitched well, struck out 12.
Oh, come on. He was terrific yesterday.
No. But I'm just saying. He hasn't been able to win. A couple other starts before that weren't that great.
He also got three runs total in his last four starts.
Well, he also got seven runs a game in the 19 that he won.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, right.
I mean,
yeah.
It evens out. Does it even
baseball,
out?
Baseball, baby.
It's baseball. So you can't cry now that you're not getting runs when Mark, the other pitchers will say, dude, you got seven runs a game for those 19 wins, right?
It's the one uncontrollable thing for a pitcher is how many runs you get in a game.
You can't. There's nothing you can do about it. But what we always used to say was, didn't stop him from pitching a shutout. Nobody told you you couldn't pitch a shutout.
Oh,
right?
There's that old lie. But you can't pitch a shutout every time.
No, but you know what I mean. Don't cry.
A helicopter at your pool.
We're doing a
podcast from Rob. Look, there's a plane right there and a helicopter right there. Podcast today coming live from Rob Parker's pool. We won't tell you where the house is.
Please don't.
Almost gave away your house number, like you gave away your phone number on the air.
I did, on the air once. That was crazy. Just give away my phone number.
I think our number was like at 97. One was 559-9797, which I think it might still be.
How did I get my phone number?
But this is what Rob says. So we always were used to 248-559-9797. So I said, Rob, what's the number? You know, he goes, I'll just give a number. It won't be Rob's number. 313-555-1212.
And you go, did you give out your phone number?
You just gave out your home phone number. Did anybody ever call you?
No.
You know, it was so fast and quick.
But still, Mark, you said you called it right away. You said, what number did you give
out? Well, as soon as you start saying 313.
You said, you give out your home phone?
And you went, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, what did I just do?
What
oh, my God.
I know.
Were we done with Tigers?
Yes.
Anything to say about the Wings preseason opener?
Not yet. We'll wait for the Wings. I mean, you know what? I saw Babcock, and I thought he was right, his right approach. Dude, let's not get crazy about last year. We know they had a chance to beat the Blackhawks, who went on to win the Stanley Cup and all that. But they struggled.
They struggled
to get into the playoffs. He said, "Let's not sugarcoat this. We struggle."
I just want to say this as we start the preseason. The Wings did Zippo last year. They did nothing.
Thank you.
Jimmy Howard had to stand on his head to get you into the postseason. That's the eight. Since when do we talk about the Red Wings and the eighth playoff spot? Since when is that a mark of achievement?
And also, when you're up, in a series three games.
All right, let's get past. Hold on, before I get to that. Now you play what I thought was almost a terrible Anaheim team at the time that had been on the downward spiral the last 2 weeks prior to the postseason. So you win one series, you're up 3-1 on the Blackhawks in the second. This is a second series. This wasn't the Western Conference Finals.
No.
Get
right.
to the Cup. It's second series.
Right. That was to get to the final.
You tank three games and lose it. I got news for you. Dave Lewis got fired after winning two series. You just won one again. Hey, Mike, I got another newsflash for you. Stanley Cup was in 08. We're getting into the sixth year since the Cup. How many years do you buy if this thing is going to continue to do this? And you're telling me you add a 40-year-old Alfredson, Steven Weiss, not much more on defense. You bring back Cleary. You would have thought Cleary was Gordie Howe the way they were discussing negotiations on that guy for $1.75 million. And you're going to try to convince me there's something going on? You still haven't really built your defense. Danny DeKeyser hopefully comes back and does that. Rob, I don't think there's anything going there.
No,
I think they're going to struggle again to get in.
Well, but that's why,
and you ain't playing 44 games but that's why, in 99
That's
days.
Why I like what he was saying. Whatever. He wasn't like beating his chest like, hey, we almost got to the Western Conference.
Well, he
Garden
better Park. Not.
He's saying, dude, we struggled last year, and we got a lot of work to do this year. We're not even kidding ourselves. And now, don't forget, they're in the Eastern Conference now.
Totally different deal, yes. Man. Different style of hockey.
The only good thing is the games won't be on that late. You know, which is
no
a
late
good thing,
games,
right? It's good.
Nothing. No, you'll get all early games. I mean, everything's done. 10 o'clock now. There's no late games. That was a lot of games.
Oh, in the old
West
days,
Coast games.
You used to watch all those postseason
games. 1:30 in the morning.
Late.
It'll be cool to see Toronto and Montreal, the Rangers again,
right,
on a consistent basis. I liked it. I liked the move to the East, so it's where they should have been the whole time. I want to see Toronto more, even though Toronto's terrible. But it's a whole different deal. There's a lot of teams, yes, you can think you can beat up on, but there's more in the West that you can beat up on.
Well, it's not going to be all those Columbus and, I mean, they had a division for years. Everybody keeps talking about, look at the teams they play.
Say what you want about Minnesota and Nashville. They're not that good, dude.
Right.
When's the last time they won anything?
You look at those teams and you say, man.
Now you get the Boston Bruins and Montreal, and it'll be fun to see the Wings and Rangers again, won't it? Like on a consistent basis?
It will be. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, just a couple more things. Oh, by the way, that was cute, the Tyler and Todd Bertuzzi thing. When's the last? Can you imagine playing in a game on the ice professionally with your nephew? Because you got a nephew.
Right.
Can you imagine playing professionally like Todd Bertuzzi did with Tyler? Now, Tyler will go back to Guelph. He'll be a minor league player, but he was a second-round pick by the Wings in June. That was pretty cool, the Tyler and Todd.
That's pretty neat. I think that's neat.
That's like a Griffey story with the Griffey, even the.
Oh, that's even, son. Yeah. Here you are, your major league. You stuck around long enough for your son to grow up and then be a ball player and then be that ball player, stud.
I still think Juwan Howard's trying to see if he can get his kid to play with him.
I don't know about that.
Juwan Jr. is what, at UAD for his junior year? I think it's his junior year. He's not. He's probably not good enough to be an NBA player, but Juwan is sticking around. He still wants to play at 41. Another ring from Miami, you know, if he'll get more rings than he ever could dream about and never do anything for him. Mayweather fight. Canelo Alvarez in Las Vegas at MGM on Saturday. You saw the fight.
I watched the whole fight.
Two schools of thought. One, that's fine. No knockdowns of consequence.
There you go. That's what disappointed me. Like, somebody be like, oh, what's going to make him look silly? Ah, it was just okay, Mark. You know, it's like a typical Mayweather fight. I want to see him get a knockout or knock somebody down or do something. And he did what he's supposed to do. I mean, I don't know. It was just okay. I don't have any issues. He's 36. The kid's 23. I give him credit that he can still win and still come out. The one judge that added a draw, of course, was terrible.
That Ross, that woman?
Yeah.
She's done this before. Mayweather defended her. He said, look, Nevada Boxing Commission is the best commission in the country. If they deem that she's good enough to be a judge, and she comes up with that, he couldn't believe it. Because he said, well, I think what the F is
that. Look at his face. Did you see the look on his face?
Well, yeah. When the actual score came out, but in further thought, he said, hey, man, you know, that's who they pick.
He's a professional. And that way, he acted like a professional. Rather than just trashing her and trashing the whole Nevada
Athletic Commission.
Commission. Yeah. That was a pro move. That's all. That's how you just... You won. You got your $100 million. So what? Move on.
Well, look, Canelo Alvarez was the guy he had to fight. He fought him. Alvarez had been unbeaten, too. And I know they're trying to push this boxing thing. I'm going to make this real quick, only because it's a real quick statement. Until the Klitschko brothers not only relinquish and give up the heavyweight championship of the world, because they've had it now for 13 years, if you can believe it, between Vladimir and Vitali Klitschko. And the reason I don't like them is because they actually live in Beverly Hills, California, in beautiful mansions, but will not fight here in the United States. They fight overseas, Germany and Russia and other places. So you don't see a heavyweight championship fight anymore. You don't see it here, and nobody seems to care about that. But, Rob, you know, covering fights back in the day in Las Vegas and elsewhere, without the heavyweight division, the boxing game is going to fall behind UFC and MMA every single time. Dana White has more going on than boxing does because Mayweather says he's only got 3 fights left and wants to go bye-bye, unless they absolutely pay him $300 million for a fight down the line just to get his ass back in the ring. There is nothing going on with the heavyweight division as long as the Klitschkos have it.
And it's so sad. We used to have the golden age of heavyweights. We saw all the big fights. Remember, we used to watch Saturday with Howard Cosell on ABC Mark at 2:30 in the afternoon, watch a heavyweight fight, saw Muhammad Ali and Jimmy Young fight. You know what I mean?
Jimmy Young.
Well, Jimmy Young, I think, won that fight. I mean,
Jimmy Young, remember the chant?
But he didn't knock him down. He didn't knock him out. And you got to, you know, to take the champ's belt.
The only guy to break anything on Muhammad Ali was Ken Norton when he broke his jaw.
That was it. So I think you're right, and it's kind of disappointing because you would think that, you know, we would have some more heavyweights and people you'd want to see.
Dude, I was around and covered the Duran and Leonard and Hearns and Hagler, that era. Nothing compares to that. Right now you've got two stud guys that people want to see fight, Mayweather and Pacquiao. And Pacquiao is iffy right now.
Right, I was going to say, after his last fight. But the thing is, I just think it's disappointing that we don't get... In the old days, you have to fight for money, Mark. Now, because the money's so big, you don't fight like you used to. You know, like you can wait it out, wait for just that one big fight. You don't want to get a blemish on your record. In the old days, you had to fight to make money. You had to fight. And that's not the case anymore.
Well, Mayweather's going to have a couple more. They'll be in Vegas because it's the only place he wants to fight. And while it was interesting to see this thing, it certainly doesn't rival those fights of the past. And people are, like, taking it now. And some were very disappointed. Some were not happy that these are all points fights now. It's all decision fighting. And it's based on power punches. And, yeah, Mayweather landed twice the power and three times the ones that actually landed onto Alvarez, onto Canelo. But I was kind of bored with the damn thing, too. And I don't know. You can't ask for more knockdown fights or knockout fights because that's what, you know, Mayweather relied on in the old days. He was a KO puncher. He's not a KO puncher anymore. This sport's just hanging on to me. I'm sorry.
It just doesn't,
with the pay-per-view number.
Even watching it, you just kind of go, okay, I watched it. He got a couple things in. And, Mark, he had a couple of clear shots when they slow it down. Clear shots and still no damage. You know, like knocking a guy down or anything, or no real damage to the challenger.
I have one more sports question to ask, then we'll close it off for the day. The golf, as we're taping this, is not over. Jim Furyk was leading. I think Zach Johnson was up there at the BMW in Chicago, at Conway Farms in Lake Forest, Illinois, outside Chicago. And it was a funny question. I'm going to ask you the question. And Tour Championship is next week, and Tiger will be in that because he's only top 30, and he'll still make it in even though he was failing on Monday. Jim Furyk's 59, which was fun television, actually kind of compelling television on round two on Friday.
59?
Only the sixth guy to shoot a 59 in competition on the PGA Tour. Someone said, they asked him, would you rather, and I didn't think this was even a question, but there was kind of 50-50. Would you rather shoot a 59 for one round or have a hole in one? If you could choose, would you rather a 59? Now, 59 on a Sunday and win you a tournament, it's not what we're talking about, okay? Because an average round, shoot 59 or a hole in one?
Hole in one.
You really? You'd rather have the ace one hole than shoot a 59 for a round of golf.
Because it happens so... I know you said only six guys have done it on tour, Mark. But a hole-in-one, I mean, people don't do that ever. I mean, that's another one that people can play golf forever and never get a hole-in-one.
I was watching Channel 9 News, Chicago, the other day. Rich King was on, had his first ace after playing golf for like 40 years of his life.
That's what I mean, right.
And he was beaming like he... And he had children.
But that's what I'm trying to say is he played 40 years. He's probably a big golf fan, and he finally got one and said, oh, man, that's nothing like... I just think a hole-in-one, Mark, doesn't happen every day.
God, I take the 59 every day and run with it.
Okay.
I can't even imagine... 59 for 9. I'd take a 59 on 9 holes. But a 59, to walk around and show someone a scorecard that's under 60... I think under 70. Well, that was the point. Someone said, but if you're a hack golfer and you shoot 70... You're proud as punch to go show that damn thing off, right? Because who shoots that when you're just a hack golfer? But I don't know, 59 to me.
Hole in one, that's the big talk. You know, one of the local PDs in one of the stations got up there on the Lions golf outing, stepped up there, first shot of the golf outing, hole in one.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. Who was that? Who was that won the car?
The PD at one of the stations.
Right.
But it's just the idea, Mark. Don't tell me that you wouldn't.
Was it Jimmy? Okay, I'm just curious.
But
the podcast.
But don't tell me that you wouldn't you wouldn't want that. Can you imagine stepping up? You're the first guy. You know, you're the first guy.
Well, if I get a car for it.
Everybody's watching you.
What do we get for 59?
Well,
nothing?
No, you don't get anything. That's why they give cars for people to get holes in ones, because it's so hard to do.
All right, let's wrap it up with some shout-outs. You got a shout-out? You want to mention anything? You mentioned Hot Dog. What about Sporty Cuts?
Sporty Cuts, of course, right there on 7 Mile Road between Outer Drive and Myers, Mark. You know, for the all-even haircuts for men, $10. All-even haircuts for kids, $7. $8, I should say. And a clean environment. You know, we got the satellite. We got the games on the weekends if you come in. And we got great barbers. We got a lot of barbers in there, all cut hair well. So if you need a haircut, get tightened up in Detroit. Come to Sporty Cuts on 7 Mile Road between Outer Drive and Myers, right there off the lodge, and great place to get a cut.
And again, Sporty Dogs or whatever the hell it's called, All Star Dogs. Where the hell is it?
On 7 Mile, between Southfield Freeway and Evergreen, at the corner of Sunderland. So there you go. Both are on 7 Mile Road.
And they can read your crap on what?
You can go to theshadowleague.com. I got a column right now about the Kaepernick up. Or you can go to clickondetroit.com in sports, and I write 2 columns a week on Click On.
I want to do a shout-out to Aaron Sorkin, and I told Rob I wanted to do this, and I watched the final episode of The Newsroom on HBO last night, and it's been the most compelling television over the course of summer, the best 9 hours of television on television this summer. I'm actually sad that it's only 9 episodes and it's going away now that it goes away because all the seasons will start now. Starting, in fact, I think tomorrow Fox is busting out the comedy night with New Girl and other things. So, shout out to Aaron Sorkin, Emily Mortimer, Olivia Munn, the great Sam Waterston, who's been terrific in everything, Jane Fonda, who at 75 or whatever she is now looks amazing and has still got the acting chops like crazy.
I don't want to say she's had a facelift, but every time she sits down, her mouth there slaps.
Oh!
I think a little Don Rickles in on you.
A little Rickles? Who'll be appearing in Vegas at the Orleans, I believe, next week.
And for the young people listening, look up Don Rickles. Google him, please.
Wikipedia? Do a little wiki on Rickles? Jane Fonda, and of course, Chelsea, Michigan's very own Jeff Daniels, who anchors, pardon the pun, but anchors that show, The Newsroom, as Will McAvoy. I had a guy on Facebook say, I really wish ACN existed. He actually would like to see that as an actual news organization, ACN, which is the fake news organization in the show.
But they have that. Al Jazeera just started about a month ago.
And you did something for Al Jazeera, right?
Yeah, Al Jazeera America.
You're going to be on more?
Let's talk.
All right, well, I'm actually going to be on more with McNabb and Malone. Should be on this week sometime on the quarterback tandem under center on NBC Sports Radio Detroit. You can listen on 1090, of course, or online at NBCSportsRadio.com. But again, a shout-out to The Newsroom. It was great television. I hope they come back for their third season. I'm pretty sure they are. And DVD is coming out soon. And, you know, how do you not like Jeff? Jeff loves this state. He loves Michigan. Daniels is, you know, he's been doing this now for a long time, man. You're talking about, he's probably been acting for 30 years. I know he doesn't want to hear that. But it's been 30 years since I think he did that movie Something Wild with Melanie Griffith. And Dumb and Dumber 2 is coming. He mentioned that on Chelsea Lately, on Chelsea Handler's show, so that he and Jim Carrey are getting back together.
20 years after the fact?
Yeah, well, they bandied back and forth. He didn't want to do it at one point. Carrey didn't want to do it at one point. They finally said, let's make some money. Let's go do this movie. It's just, Rob.
No, I know. It's a money grab.
It's cash cow. Right. It's cash cow for everybody involved. But that Newsroom is one of the best shows I've ever seen. Great hour of television, and I'm going to miss it. I can't wait for season 3. Anything to wrap it up?
No, that's it.
Catch us at, let's see, we got the Twitter, no, we got the Facebook thing now, Parker and the Man. Like us on the Parker and the Man thing. You can email us if you want. We're going to get new emails, but for right now, it's parkerandtheman@yahoo.com. If you have any comments, you want to say something, you got any suggestions, you want to tell us what jerks we are, we're fine, we're good with that. parkerandtheman@yahoo.com. And you got your Twitter thing, too. What's your Twitter thing? Look at all this crap we got to do.
No, Rob Parker Local 4. At Rob Parker Local 4. That's my Twitter.
And Rob will be on Sunday nights, if you haven't known, for the last, how many years is it now?
20 years.
Wow, it's unbelievable.
No, it's unbelievable, Mark, isn't it?
All right, we'll see you for Podcast 3. Podcast 2 from Rob's Pool, over and out. He is Rob Parker.
He is the man, Mark Wilson. We'll see you next time.
All the time.
On the podcast.
We got to come up with an ending.
I know, we need a better
ending. See you next time, all time, your time, and our time.
As Michael Harrell always says, he goes, we'll see you when we, he says, I'll see you when I see you.
That's not how we should end it. No, end it like you should be ended.
Oh, okay. Well, we got to come up with something.
NBC.
Oh, okay.
Here you go. Here's the ending. Here we got it. Go.
No, you should start again.
He is Rob Parker.
He is the man, Mark Wilson, and we'll NBC you later.
Man.